I really loved about it.
Well, yeah. It is. You know, it's been developing and evolving. But one of the things I find really fascinating about it is that fact that everywhere it goes, it's different. So this essentially is the first time, you know, that it's been seen like this ever. And it's here in Birmingham, which I just think is fantastic. So, yeah, it'd be just lovely if you could just say a little bit about the piece, really. And then if anybody would like any images with Sophia and the work or to grab an interview, by all means, you know, find me or speak to Sophia directly, and we'll ensure that you have everything that you need. There's also some information here that you can take away with you. The piece is only here just to do the house, you know, kind of housekeeping, if you like, all the important details. Only here for 10 days, so we really, really want to maximise the number of visitors that get to see it on Saturdays in particular. So if you have any media channels or social media channels that you can kind of blast it out to encourage audiences on those days, that would be absolutely fantastic.
Well, once I start talking about it, I can just go on and on for ages. But I'll just say that Nick's collaborated on this since 2004? And Ragnall since 2005. And we're missing the composer, Craig Veer, who collaborated since 2003. So it's a very collaborative piece. I'm a sculptor, and I first made it in a studio, in a white studio, so white elastic, white studio, very kind of invisible thing. And the motivation for making it is that I was unhappy making work that you only looked at, and you're not allowed to touch work in galleries. You know, we all know that. And so I thought, how would it be if I made something that I actually wanted people to touch, and how would they, without being instructed or given permission when they walked in the door of my studio, know that they could do that? And I thought that it doesn't take much to get people to want to break rules. So if it was so seductive, and it is so seductive, that, and it never is quite still, perhaps they would inevitably walk up to it and touch it and start to play with it, which is what happened. And then at the time, it was just the elastic. There was no microphone. And it became clear to me that it would make sound, and that was a way of getting people to realize that they could play with it, that that was allowable. Because if you touched it, it would respond to you. And then you must know that you must be allowed to touch it. And so you would carry on playing with it. And then your image might come up on it. And that would encourage you more. And then before you knew it, you'd unconsciously become sort of complicit with the work, and in a sense you complete it, and you're a performer, and it's all happened kind of by mistake. So that's how it all started, and it happened to be picked up by Crying Out Loud, who then commissioned and have produced it ever since, and taken largely into performance spaces. And I was, as well as being very interested in the audience participating, interested in actually turning it into a performance, which is what happened. And then we've always embraced the audience into it after the performance. So that's its journey, kind of described actually quite briefly.